The first reading and the gospel for this Mass give us the message that this cruel world is going to come to an end, but that good people will receive justice and life from God. It's a very fitting theme for this weekend, when we particularly remember those who've served and died during wars. And that theme of justice and life has certainly made a big impression on me for a special reason. And the reason is this. I have just returned from a visit to Jerusalem, where I was studying for 10 days at Yad Vashem. That's the Holocaust Museum. It's a place where Israel preserves the memory of the 6 million Jews who were murdered by the Nazis. Hitler undertook to completely destroy the Jews, God's chosen people, the very people who are our brothers and sisters in faith. They were the victims of a completely evil system. My time in Israel was an intensely moving experience, and I've come to understand a lot better the reasons, the horrors, and the consequences of Hitler's attempt to annihilate the Jews. And in 1948, for the first time in nearly 2,000 years, the Jews who had survived and those who'd managed to get to the Holy Land set about establishing the modern state of Israel. The terrible events of the 20th century left many Jews struggling with unanswered questions. Why? Why did this happen? They are not new questions. The intensity of the horror between 1933 and 1945 was unprecedented, almost incomprehensible. Yet that first reading we've heard tonight from the book of Malachi, written about 450 years before Jesus was born, that reading may help us to understand a little better. Events 450 years before Christ had similarities to 1948. The Jews had just returned from exile back to Israel, decades after being exiled from their homeland by cruel Babylonian tyrants. The Jews in the book of Malachi were rebuilding their nation. Because of their dreadful experiences at the hands of tyrants, however, a lot of people had given up practicing their Jewish faith. Malachi tells us elsewhere in that book what they were saying. And this is what they were saying. It's useless to serve God. What's the good of keeping his commands? And after the Holocaust, similar sentiments were again heard on the lips of many Jews. Malachi goes on to say, "We have reached the point when we call the arrogant blessed." So it was centuries later when those arrogant, obsessed Nazis had mercilessly persecuted the Jews for 12 long, horrific years with a complete and utter contempt for God. And those dying in the concentration camps often asked, "Where is God?" But Malachi points out, despite all the horrors and evil, God is very much aware of what's happening in this world. It's very difficult for us to explain properly, but God is always present. And I would like to simply read you a story I heard at the Holocaust Museum. It virtually reduced me to tears. I might fill up now. It highlighted to me the horrors of the Second World War, but also demonstrates the courage of so many ordinary soldiers fighting their way through Europe to allow us to be free today. It's the story of a 15-year-old Jewish woman called Gerda Weissmann, of how her ordinary, happy family life was completely destroyed when Hitler and his army invaded Poland in 1939, and how her life was saved in 1945 by an ordinary soldier from the United States of America. In 1939, Gerda was brutally deported with other women from her village to work as slave labor in a factory in Czechoslovakia. Throughout, their treatment was harsh and inhumane, deliberately cruel. By 1945, many of Goethe's friends had died of starvation and exhaustion. And at the end of it all, as defeat loomed for the Nazis, she was forced, together with the few surviving Jews, to go on a 300-mile death march across Europe. And liberation came for Goethe when a US Army troops entered the Czech town of Vlari in southern Bohemia near the German border on the 7th of May, 1945. The wicked guards, wicked, they ran off. Goethe was trying to get some water for her dying friends, and this is how she described it. My very clear view of freedom and liberation came that morning when I stood in this doorway of that abandoned factory and I saw the car coming down the hill. And the reality of that came when I saw the white star on its hood and not the swastika. And there were two men in that car. One jumped out. I remember the awe, the disbelief in daylight to see, really see, someone who'd fought for our freedom, for my ideals, and he looked like God to me. The soldier who jumped out was called Kurt Klein. This is what he said, describing the same incident. I saw some skeletal figures trying to get some water from a hand pump, but over on the other side, leaning against the wall next to the entrance to the building, I saw a girl standing, and I decided to walk up to her. And I asked her in German and in English whether she spoke either language, and she answered me in German. And this is what she said. I knew what I had to say, and I said to him, "We are Jewish, you know." For a very long time, at least it seemed to me very long, he didn't answer me. And then his own voice betrayed his emotions. He was wearing dark glasses. I couldn't see his eyes. He said, "So am I." Then he said, "May I see the other ladies?" Goethe was astonished. She described how it was a form of address she had not heard for 6 years. I told him most of the girls were inside. They were too ill to walk. And he said to me, "Won't you come with me?" I didn't know what he meant. So he held the door open for me and let me precede him. And that was the moment of restoration of humanity, of humanness, dignity, of freedom. What Goethe didn't know was that Kurt was German. He was born in Waldorf in Baden-Württemberg. And in 1937, when he was 17, his parents sent him to the United States. His parents and his family, just like Goethe's family, were all murdered by the Nazis. Kurt, the refugee, returned to Europe 7 years later as a lieutenant in the United States Army. On the 18th of June 1946, Goethe and Kurt got married in Paris. They settled in Buffalo, New York, and they had three children. They spent the rest of their lives, Goethe is still alive in her 90s, but they spent the rest of their lives trying to bring peace and reconciliation into the world by speaking and writing about their experiences of war. Many, many didn't survive that war. And this weekend, we remember them all in our prayers, hoping that they too will receive justice and freedom.